Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Going to talk to this. Talk about this story of gambling in the NFL, one that maybe be made into a more large controversy than it actually is, that regarding the Arizona Cardinals, Josh Shaw. But some of you still want to weigh in on Jason Garrett and his job status, so we can do that now on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Sam in Baltimore. Sam, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, good morning, Robin. Just a little side story about Jason Garrett. I was telling your producer there that when the Ravens fired Brian Billick, Jason Garrett was the first person to come in for an interview. Mm-hmm. And basically, he had the job locked in. And the rumor here was that the reason why he didn't get the job was that his wife didn't like Baltimore. And basically, within the next week, they hired Harbaugh. So I guess we got the best end of the deal.
Hey, yeah, things are going pretty well in Baltimore right now. Obviously, people are excited about that team. I was in Baltimore yesterday, actually.
Oh, yeah, okay, great.
Yeah, I was at the aquarium with my kids. But the Ravens obviously have people excited, as they should. And Harbaugh has proven to be a great coach. I mean, not only with the pedigree and track record he has there, but I think especially with the transition around Lamar Jackson, where they didn't just try to plug Lamar Jackson into something. They built something around Lamar Jackson. And that's a great sign for a coach to be able to adapt in that sense. So when you're talking Harbaugh brothers, right now John's in a little bit of better position with maybe a Super Bowl favorite team in Baltimore. Well, Jim Harbaugh has this big game coming up today. 0-4 against the Buckeyes in his career at Michigan. But we'll see if that changes. Today's almost the Harbaugh version of the Jason Garrett game, the Jim Harbaugh version of the Jason Garrett game, what Ohio State does in the game against Michigan, or Michigan does in the game against Ohio State, I guess, more appropriately. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Andre in Dallas. Andre, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Andre?
Hey, how's it going, man? I love the show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I was wanting to weigh in on Jason Garrett, man. I mean, I know he's been around for a while, but I think it's time for Tony Romo to be the man. Come on in and take over the job, because he know what to do, and he know how to do it. I also I believe that Colin Kaepernick would be a good backup quarterback, unless he's better than Cooper Rush.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot more layers to the Kaepernick aspect of it. But, yeah, I mean, yes, of course. On talent, he's better than a lot of backups and maybe a couple starters. But, again, there's more to that story, I think, than just his talent level at this point. But when you're bringing up what you just did, as far as the way the season is playing out and what you want to see, I mean, I get it. It makes a little bit of sense there. How about Travis in Tennessee? Travis, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Travis?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
I was curious because, like, you were saying earlier that Jason's only had one losing season, and I just personally consider 8-8, all the 4 8-8s he's had, I consider those as losing seasons, and how he's never been able.
You cannot consider those losing seasons because that's factually inaccurate.
I mean, when you're the Dallas Cowboys, though, and you have
could
the
consider them
that he's had on the roster, though,
you could say they're disappointing seasons. You cannot say they're losing seasons. That's just inaccurate. It's factually incorrect.
I mean, But it's, I mean, when you have the talent that he's wasted, like he wasted Romo, he's basically wasted Witten, all the running backs he's ran through, he's all the talent Jerry has paid for. When he says his wrist doesn't get achy when he's writing checks, all that, all those checks he's written, Jason has wasted that talent.
Okay, now, look, that's fine. I'm not mad at your opinion on that, and I'm not mad at you saying they're disappointing. You just, you know, like the use of the word losing season when it's just actually not a losing season, but it's semantics. I think a lot of people share the way you feel about Jason Garrett and the Cowboys, or else we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now with him and the Cowboys. If it was just purely based on overall record, you know, if you had no knowledge of the context of it, you would say, how could you be getting rid of this guy? But I think when you factor in the money that the Cowboys have spent, the talent that's been on the roster, the expectations they have, the media attention they garner, then, of course, you know, Jason Garrett's going to be highly scrutinized, and fans, you know, scrutinize the coach more than anyone else.
Well, to answer your original question of why would you do it now by firing him,
mm-hmm.
One last thing I'd like to say is that, because what's the point? What's the point of going to a playoff game and him not making halftime adjustments, wasting timeouts, making bad decisions, in-game decisions? He pre-plans great during the week. Great, excellent. But game time, he just stands on the sideline and he doesn't do anything. He doesn't communicate with his special teams coach. He doesn't communicate with his running back coach, his O-line coach. He just stands there and he expects them.
But let's say
what they worked on during the week.
Did they win a playoff game last year?
They did.
Yeah. So let's say they win the division, right? And they host a playoff game, and somehow they win that playoff game at home, which I don't think is a wild scenario, right? And then
that could happen.
Then the next week, you know, there was an injury for one of the better players on the team that they're facing the next week, and all of a sudden you can win that game, and then you're in the NFC Championship game. That's why you don't do it now. You know, that's all.
Yeah.
Because there's no upside to doing it now. And in the meantime, I'm not saying you keep him. Obviously, I think it's the writing's on the wall. Barring a crazy run, like I would say, barring them getting close to the Super Bowl or into the Super Bowl, he's going to be gone. So I just don't see the necessity in doing it right now. I also forgot to address the caller prior to him talked about Tony Romo taking that job. Tony Romo would be out of his mind to take that job. Tony Romo has one of the best jobs in the world right now. He's about to get paid, $10 million to broadcast games? Work once a week? You know, there doesn't get any better than that. Zero pressure. No, you know, nobody's saying you're a failure or a success based on how you call an individual game. Hardly any work week. No hours compared to what the NFL coaching schedule calls for, right? He can play his golf. Why the hell would Tony Romo give up what he's doing right now to coach the Dallas Cowboys? I would question Romo's sanity if he did that.
He's a competitor.
So?
You don't think playing or coaching gets his juices flowing like nothing else?
I don't know. I don't know how, you know, not everybody is wired the same way. You know, you could be a competitor and then like the lifestyle that being a broadcaster affords you. Not to mention, clearly the guy has a advanced hobby beyond that.
He plays golf.
Yeah. It gives him the leeway to play golf. He can't skip the Cowboys game if he's the coach to go play in a golf tournament like he was going to with the broadcasting. How about Ivan in Dallas? Ivan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Ivan?
Hey, how you doing? I believe Jason Garrett should be out. We should already fire him and go ahead and extend an offer to Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer?
I believe. Yeah.
Why Urban Meyer?
Well, they already asked him, you know. Well, the Cowboy organization did not ask him, but the question came across. If they offered him, then he'll take it. Plus, he's already coached Zeke, so he knows how to utilize Zeke more than Jason Garrett has ever utilized, period. He knows that he's already going to know the talent that's in the college, so when this next year's draft comes, he's already going to know who's going to want to help him, you know, make the team even better.
You know, but the thing that would make me hesitate about Urban Meyer, his track record, obviously very good at the college level. It just feels like the shiny object, you know, like the biggest name, big splash that the Cowboys could make. And I'm not sure that's what they need to do necessarily. You know, it doesn't have to be the biggest name just because you're the Cowboys. It doesn't have to. You don't have to win the headlines. You just need a better coach on the sidelines. Sidelines are going to be more important than the headlines. In this case, for the Cowboys. How about Paul in Las Vegas? Paul, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Paul?
Morning, Robin. Love your show.
Thank you.
Just landed in Vegas, came in from Chicago. Heard about the story about this kid at the Cardinals betting the games. And
yeah.
I'm always amazed at the outrage of that. They're going to skewer this kid. They'll make an example of him, but you know how many guys, how many players are betting on these games. It's almost impossible not to. They're just, it's just sitting in front of them. They have connections with other teams. It's been going on forever. We were just laughing about fixing that game between Oklahoma and Northwestern. I don't know what it was, 50 years ago when they poisoned the food of Oklahoma's team when they were in Chicago to play. And that same guy did 9 other games with that same potion that they put in the food of other teams, and it's still going on today with Ditka. And there isn't a street book in America that takes a pro basketball bet. I'll tell you that right now. We have to on the internet, but there's not a street book in America that takes a bet on basketball.
What do you mean a street book?
Guys that take phone calls, that take bets.
Because, I mean, I know people that use bookies that aren't quote-unquote legitimate that take pro basketball bets.
Well, I'm guarantee you they're hedging them because we know those guys are they're playing with the numbers, the over-unders, not necessarily the games. They're all betting on the games, all the pro players.
I think that's a little strong. All the players are betting on the games. I think there are maybe more than we know about, but I think it is a little because you're questioning people's professionalism at that point, right? Are there guys betting on games? I'm sure. Have their guys been betting on games? Sure. That's the thing about this Josh Shaw story that I find kind of unremarkable. The idea that sports gambling being legalized in more places is going to make it worse to me just doesn't make sense. Because sunlight is the best disinfectant, right? And usually when you legalize something, you can regulate it. And then it becomes more transparent. It's not as if you wanted to gamble on sports before, you couldn't. Now, it's more accessible, so that would be the argument against what I'm saying. I just don't see it as this possible scourge against the sports, but maybe people disagree. Josh Shaw of the Cardinals, cornerback, was suspended indefinitely, at least through next season, for betting on NFL games on multiple occasions this season. Now, it must be noted in this story, he has not played a single down this season. He was put on IR in August with a shoulder injury. So he's more of an NFL player than I am, but he's less of an NFL player than guys who are playing in NFL games. right? So the idea that, like, it's such a scandally headline without much of a scandally story. In my mind. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, this story about the Cardinals' Josh Shaw being suspended for betting on NFL games, you would think that's a negative, right? Like, you read that headline, you're like, oh boy, here it comes. What a negative for the NFL. I actually think this is kind of a positive story for the NFL. More or less, it's a positive story because if it was such a negative story, if it was an actually scandalous story, I bet you the NFL would be doing everything in their power to bury it. I mean, there's only a certain point you can do that till, you know, other information gets out there, the press gets it, you have to confront it publicly from a discipline standpoint. Obviously, it's hard to bury some things. But this probably wouldn't have been that hard to bury if you wanted to, or at least keep from you know, popping to the surface until you wanted it to. And the NFL is who has controlled the narrative here in putting it out publicly. And I actually think it's more or less a good thing for them because it makes them look like they're proactive. It makes it look like they're not taking any chances with sports gambling hurting their product or compromising their product. They appear to be strong here. And I'm not saying that it's a facade. I'm not saying that they don't care about it. I don't know. I don't know how passionate they are behind the scenes. Obviously, any sports league would be worried about its integrity. And the NFL is clearly worried about the possible impact on the integrity of the game and all that. But let's be honest. The NFL is bet on a lot, right? More than any other sport. The sports gambling industry, the NFL carries it on its back. And now that industry has gone above board, obviously the NFL is going to be bet on. Now, even more. The question is, does that impact the players at all? Because that was the conversation when sports gambling was starting to be legalized in more and more states. I always thought it seemed a little silly to me that this would make it so much worse because it's always been there. And when it was illegal, if you will, the seedier things were running it. You know, the seedier factions were running it. And therefore, they could get to the players and blah, 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 blah. We all know the way that looks on paper, right? And in recent years, even before the legalization became broader, it's not like it was hard to gamble. I mean, if you could have found betonsports.us or whatever these websites are, right? They're all over the place. People still use them. I didn't use them too much, and I guess I'm arguing against myself here because once it became legal in New Jersey, where I live, I started doing it more often because it was just easier. But I also haven't felt compelled to, mess with anything. It's just it'd be easier. It was for fun. It didn't change my thought process around it is what I mean. In this case, I think in general, the legalization allows you to regulate. The information is more readily available. The companies you're betting with are more reputable in a sense, and all that. I think it's good for sports, and I think you've seen the NBA, for instance, embrace it. The NFL seems a little bit more worried about the backlash that could come with it or the fallout that could come with it, and it's generally tied into the idea of the integrity of the game. I mean, even in Goodell's statement, puts at risk the integrity of the game, damages public confidence in the NFL, and is forbidden under all circumstances. So in this Josh Shaw case, they can come down strong here. They can come down strong. And they did. They suspend him for the 2020 season. But the reason I say that this was an easy move for them and a good move for them, nobody knows who he is, really. I mean, he's probably most famous for what happened in 2014 when he was at USC. When he suffered a high ankle sprain, he jumped from the second story of an apartment, saying he was saving his 7-year-old nephew who was drowning in a pool, and then I think he made it up or something. It came out later that he wasn't telling the truth about that. He admitted to lying about it, and he was sort of trying to cover up the injury he had suffered. That's what makes him most famous. If this was Saquon Barkley suspended the 2020 season for betting on NFL games, it would be a massive story. And it would be the one that the NFL did not want. But in this case, it's a real tidy, nice little story for the NFL because they could go, look at us. We're suspending Josh Shaw for the 2020 season at least for betting on games. This guy has not played in a game at all this season. Has not played a down. Was put on injured reserve in August. There's no guarantee he was ever going to play another down in the NFL. Apparently, the investigation found that he didn't use any inside information, that his teammates, coaches, and players around him didn't know about it. He hasn't been around the team much this season. So this is closer to you or I betting on NFL games than an active NFL player betting on NFL games. Are there guys who are betting on NFL games? I'm sure, for the most part. But there's also, remember, a difference between betting and actively participating in the manipulation of the spreads. So when I saw this, I was driving back, I wasn't driving when I saw it. I was in the car on the way back, and I saw this, and the headline was like, oh, there it is. You know, that's a big story. And then you read a little bit further into the story, and you realize, not really. This isn't really a big story. It's kind of much ado about nothing, and it's a good way for the NFL to say, look at us. We're strong in this. We're not accepting this without any PR backlash, without any negatives coming from it, because I really don't think Josh Shaw being suspended for a season is a brand hit for the NFL. In fact, it's more an opportunity for them to get ahead of anything else about how serious they are in enforcing their rules around sports gambling. And then when you're trying to create a scandal around this story, I don't really think one exists. Again, because you're talking about somebody who has not played it down this season and was not really around the team, and there's no guarantee he was even going to be on a team next year. So it's an NFL player in title betting on some NFL games, but not anyone who's actively involved in the NFL process at this moment in time.
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Before I get to the Jim Harbaugh game today against the Buckeyes, currently 0-4 as head coach at Michigan, and you could, in a sense, make the game a referendum on his tenure there. I'm sure plenty of people will. I want to touch on Kyrie Irving's Instagram post from the other night. I guess Wednesday night it was. Now, the Nets have played the Celtics back-to-back games. They lost the first one, then Kyrie put the post up. That was in Boston. They won yesterday in Brooklyn. And Spencer Dinwiddie has been just great in Kyrie Irving's absence, playing like an all-star right now. And the Nets have begun developing, or some of their guys, they've already developed them, but some of their guys are proving during this span without Kyrie and without Caris LeVert, who's also out, you know, one of their top guys, and LeVert also out, not to mention Kevin Durant, of course. These guys are proving that they're core players, right? Spencer Dinwiddie is proving that he is a core player, a 36-minute-per-night kind of guy. Joe Harris is proving that he's a core player. Jared Allen is proving that he's a core player, and the Nets have just been playing some good basketball, and they've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games without Irving, lost 2. So they're 6-2 without Kyrie, which, of course, for some people is going to start talk like they're better without Kyrie Irving, which I find to be a little bit ridiculous. I understand there has been less than ideal leadership from Kyrie in the past, and some circumstances where the team he was on went through stretches where they played better without him. Boston a year ago, their winning record, their win-loss record was better without him. They made the Eastern Conference Finals a few years ago when he went down. But let's also remember who Kyrie Irving is. I mean, he's also the guy who hit the shot in Steph Curry's face to win Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 2016, and has put up numerous 40-point NBA Finals games, averaged nearly 30 points per game in the NBA Finals. So he's proven that when it's crunch time, when it's money time, he can do it against the highest level competition. And there's a difference between the regular season and the postseason. We all know that. Now, the reason I think, obviously, he was compelled to write what he did on Instagram is because of the Celtics and their fans and the media attention around that game in Boston in particular. And, you know, I joked going into that game, it almost feels like the Boston fan base, the Celtics fan base, is so obsessed with Kyrie Irving that they would have been rooting against the Celtics so that they could say that the Nets are better without Kyrie, right? Like, they want their own team to lose so they can go, see, the Nets are better without Kyrie. Enjoy that, loser, you bums. You know, and they were in a no-lose situation. They won the first game, and then they lost the second one, so they can still do it, and they can get one win. But you even see Boston players getting a little perturbed by it. I mean, did you see what Marcus Smart said? And I feel him on this. Marcus Smart said, "I'm really tired of hearing questions about Kyrie. Kyrie's no longer with the Boston Celtics. It's a slap to everybody on this team to keep hearing Kyrie's name. Yet everybody, including the Boston fans, wants to talk about Kyrie." And I feel that a lot. I mean, the Celtics have had a good season so far. Kemba Walker's been a nice fit in the Brad Stevens system. Some of the younger guys are going back to what we thought they were capable of. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Smart, and others. And, you know, Boston's 13-5, right in the midst of the Eastern Conference playoff race in the fourth seed if the season ended today. Overall, a good year, good start to the season. So why do they keep bringing up Kyrie? If they hate Kyrie so much, if they think Kyrie sucks so much, if they think Kyrie's teams are better without him, then why are they so infatuated with Kyrie? I mean, that usually tells you that your actions generally tell you the truth. And I think deep down, everybody knows Kyrie Irving is a money time player. And look, let's be honest. The Celtics wanted to keep Kyrie. It wasn't the Celtics dumping Kyrie. It was Kyrie dumping the Celtics. That's just the truth. And I understand how that hurts the fan base. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand why the fans wouldn't like him. That's not my point here. I mean, booing him, fine. Not liking him, fine. The guy did stand there and on the court and say he was coming back and then not come back. So I understand that aspect of it. And Kyrie, you know, went on Instagram and wrote what he wrote, and it looked like the intro to a Star Wars movie with way too much text, the way it was yellow fonted and on the black background. I was like, all right, in a galaxy far, far away where the Earth is not flat, here are Kyrie Irving's thoughts. And it I don't think did much to help Kyrie's overall perception, because the overall perception for many about Kyrie is that he's a difficult personality, that he's a, you know, wrapped up in himself, that sort of stuff. And there was a tone in that, a bit of a nonsensical approach to part of it that I think backed that up, the fake deep aspect that Kyrie gets as well. However, I do think Kyrie had a valid, broad overall point. If you can get past some of the delivery there. Basically, what he was saying was that the sports, pro sports, because they're entertainment, people view them in such a way where they forget all about the individuals participating and their basic humanity, in a sense. You dehumanize the professional athlete. And that's a point I've brought up a lot, especially with 24/7 media and social media, right? Some of the stuff you hear is downright insane. I mean, I'll use an example of a former Kyrie teammate, LeBron James. What happened this offseason when LeBron was in the layup line with his kid, that was one of the more insane things I've ever seen in my life, where people come back afterwards, and because LeBron takes are a cottage industry, the takeaways were like about him as a father and what it shows about his character and all this nonsense over something that, if it wasn't talked about on TV, would have come and gone and no one would have cared. People would have just seen the highlight. Oh, look, LeBron in the layup line with his kid's team. That's cool. And moved on. But because there's a take industry, because there's content to be filled, it became a talking point and a scandal. And it was ridiculous. And I think that's part of it. You know, because there's still a kid there, Bronny. You know, is it healthy for him to be dealing with all that stuff? That's part of what comes with having such a famous father. And I think when you read what Kyrie said, it's clear Kyrie loves basketball, right? He's clearly dedicated to the craft. It just doesn't seem like Kyrie likes being a celebrity. And those two things come together. When you're a great basketball player, you therefore become a celebrity. He likes one more than the other. And in some of those instances, you just have to develop a little bit thicker skin. You have to learn to manage it and deal with it because there are a lot of perks that come with that. Endorsement deals, obviously, the salary that he makes as an NBA player. But it's also understandable. I get it. I get it. You know, everything you do being dissected and talked about and people not caring at all about your needs as an individual, you know, or your feelings as an individual. And, you know, the money thing always comes up with pro sports. I say this all the time. Money doesn't solve everything. Just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean you're happy. We've seen a lot of people who have made a lot of money, you know, do some terrible things or hurt or harm themselves or, you know, various things like that. That's not a, you know, exact direct line where just because you're making money, you're happy. That's not the way it works. It can help for sure. And it's part of the perks of being a professional athlete, right? I mean, we got to be honest in the conversation. So what does Kyrie get from being a professional athlete? He gets adored by many. He gets to sell sneakers, and he gets to do what he loves in front of an audience while being generously compensated for it. The downside, though, is that people will talk about you and sometimes not give any credence to how you might be feeling at the time or say stuff that is kind of out of line, how you wouldn't speak to a person normally. Like, again, what happened with the Boston fans, the way they speak about Kyrie Irving, they wouldn't do that to anyone else who they know. They wouldn't say that to someone, even if someone they know did something wrong to them, that they, like, if someone they knew committed to attending an event and then didn't show up to an event, they wouldn't have the venom that they have for Kyrie Irving, right? That's what the dehumanization I'm talking. You're not viewing him as another person. You're viewing him as this sports figure that was supposed to play on your basketball team and now doesn't. So you hate him. And that becomes your thing, to hate him. So how can we hate him more? How can we show how much we hate him? We're going to put this sign up. We're going to say this. We're going to do that. Show you, Kyrie, you punk. And that's not how you treat people. So, like, that I get. Right? If we're talking the broader point, does everything Kyrie does or says make sense to me? No. Do I think he, you know, has some stuff he needs to work on? Yeah. But I also think he has some validity and he is an individual, right? And one thing you can't say about Kyrie is that he isn't an individual. He's, you know, he's not afraid to express those thoughts. And that's why him and Kevin Durant are kind of made for each other. You know, Kevin Durant's always fighting people online, and he was fighting people online to have Kyrie's back during the midst of all this. And you know, I think the other thing that bothered Kyrie was people saying he was faking an injury to avoid playing in Boston. And that became a, you know, even people with, I think Kendrick Perkins, isn't he employed by ESPN now? And he's a former NBA player, so maybe he has more, you know, validity in what he's saying. But the idea that he's faking an injury, that to me, if I was Kyrie, would upset me. You know, calling him soft and he's faking an injury, that's gone on what now? How many games has Kyrie Irving missed? He's missed 8 games. He's about to miss his 9th game. And he did all that so he could avoid playing the Boston Celtics because he's scared, really? You know, that is the type of stuff that just lends you to back up what he's saying. This is the place you take your mind. Because, again, for all the flaws Kyrie has, and I think at times he has lashed out at people when he didn't need to or not exactly shown the best leadership, can you question Kyrie being scared of the moment? When the hell has Kyrie Irving ever been scared of the moment on the basketball court? He pulled up outside of the three-point line. He didn't pass the ball to LeBron James. He came down the court and pulled up in Steph Curry's face to maybe win the biggest championship in the history of sports. On the short list of the biggest championships in the history of sports. So, and if you're telling me I need somebody to get me a bucket in the highest leverage situation that ever existed in basketball, I'll be happy if you present me with Kyrie Irving. So I don't think he's afraid of the moment. I think he was probably a little bit genuinely hurt by the reaction from Boston and the constant talk about him in the Boston sports media. And, of course, the insinuation that he would fake an injury and be that unprofessional about stuff. I think he was probably genuinely hurt. Now, he needs to understand the role he played in that reaction, right? You know, he did, in a sense, betray the Boston fans. But I think the reaction from the Boston fans kind of proved Kyrie's broader point, as I said. The broader point, not necessarily exactly the way he made it, but the broader point I do get, which is, you know, come on, he's a basketball player, yeah, and he's a famous basketball player, yeah, but he's still a guy. And the way you're talking about him and treating him and discussing him is not the same way you would do to, you know, someone that you felt a real human connection with. And that, I think, was the point that Kyrie was trying to make. What did you make of Kyrie Irving's Instagram post? Were you able to read the entire thing? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That is R-O-B-I-N-L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G. I mean, do we dehumanize professional athletes? In many ways, we kind of do the way we talk about them. How do you think Kyrie Irving viewed the way Jason Garrett was talked about? Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.